But okay, now I've got Deputy Tommy Brown on the line from Leinster House. Hello, Tommy, how are you?
Good morning, Pat.
Glad you could make it, Tommy, onto the programme. Okay, this aviation fuel pipeline that's going to link Dublin Port to Dublin Airport, I noticed on a walk recently down the Malahide Road, there's a planning application notice, very small, as they usually are, on a railing down there, and my curiosity got the better of me, and I started to read it, and I was quite surprised, to say the least, that this this submission is on the cards. We are aware that aviation fuel can be quite volatile, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously there was an application back in 2001 for a much shorter route of 11 kilometres, which was by the same company, Fingold and White, which seemed to be kind of an awfully based company. To run from East Wall up through Ballybock onto Richmond Road up to Drumcondra and Grace Park. But this new proposal is for a longer route, 16 kilometres, and obviously running through East Wall up through Fairview, part of Clontarf as well, Copeland Avenue, Merino, and Dunnecarney, Artane, all the way up then to the N32, or what's now being called the R139,
yeah.
So around by Darndale and Priorswood and up to the airport. And, you know, my gut reaction, I was supportive of my colleague Roisin Shortall in, 12, 14 years ago when it was proposed to run it up the, up through Whitehall, and I don't feel any differently now. In fact, it's the proposal is to run it through major residential areas. I think it's completely mad, crazy proposal, totally unacceptable and dangerous.
Yeah, well, we're just looking at it here. It's a welded steel pipeline, 200 millimeters in diameter. We're not given any assurances that this thing can't leak at any stage, or if it could leak, and maybe not even, like, I hate to use the word for the fuel that's flowing through it, to explode, but to leach into the ground and cause pollution and so forth. Are we given any assurances by Fingleton White and Company on behalf of the independent pipeline company that this sort of thing can't happen?
Not really. I mean, obviously, they're in an application in now to Dublin City Council for this latest proposal. And if any of your listeners are intending to put in a submission, it has to be in by next Tuesday at the latest. That's the latest date. So it's just really this weekend. But they have an environmental impact statement that's been put together by a company called Fehely Timoney and Company in relation to the proposed impacts on the environment and on hydrology, soils, water quality and so on. But I don't think people would be reassured by anything in a study like this, because for the first, there's nothing like this, similar to this in the Republic. Even in the UK, there's a limited amount of oil pipelines. And there has been, there has been a history, I think, in the States and in Africa and other locations of great disasters. For example, in 1998, an oil pipeline explosion in the Niger Delta killed about 1,200 people. And in the 70s, there was a pipeline ruptured in LA and killed 9 people. So I think people will be very kind of wary of this. And just asking the fundamental point, why has it been brought to residential areas, even if it was going across country from, say, somewhere like Bremore in the North County, straight across the fields, people would have concerns. But to bring it, say, for example, up the middle of Copeland Avenue, just a metre and a half below the road, among the gas and oil, and water supply, mm-hmm. it just beggars belief. I just think it's an outrageous proposal.
Well, you're voicing your opinion in that regard, Tommy, in this regard, rather. And how many other of our elected representatives are voicing the same opinion? And how come also that the information in regards to this hasn't been disseminated to the people who live along the route with regard to their fears? I mean, I'm thinking, you're looking at the Rossport situation where there was huge outcry and still going on, and people put in jail and all for it, and got huge media coverage. There's nothing being said or done about this at all. Like, there's just these little notices.
Well, I think Yeah, I think part of it, Pat, is that obviously there are so many things kind of happening that people find it difficult to focus on so many things affecting our own area in particular. And we had a briefing yesterday on the big sewage plant in at Clonshock.
Yeah.
And obviously there's threats to our workforce in Cadbury. So many issues that seem to be happening contemporaneously.
Yeah.
I opposed it. There was a couple of very small briefings last September. I think one of them might have been in the Hilton. And again, the vast 99.9% of people wouldn't have been aware of them. Obviously, I tried to highlight it as soon as I became aware of it. I opposed it strongly and raised it in the Dáil. Minister Anne Phelan came in and mentioned about, really, that there'd have to be an EIS and so on, but didn't give me any assurances or reassurances of whether or not this would be a dangerous project. I mean, a lot of people would ask, like, besides the route of it, if you were going to do it at all, why do we need it? Because, for example, we built the port tunnel to facilitate getting trucks, including oil trucks, out of the port and out into the M1 and so on. And the oil, the kerosene for Dublin Airport makes up something like 1.5% of the traffic. So you say why would you upset people and cause consternation? A company actually from the Midlands has no connection with our area. Why should such a company be permitted to, cause this level of distress in hugely populated areas? I mean, I think the application should simply be withdrawn and forgotten. And if they want to come back and look at it, perhaps across country or something, that's their business in the future. But and obviously the landowners in question would need to look at it and so on. But I think bringing it through a residential area is just simply not on. And I can't understand why these people, whoever fit and white are, why they don't understand this basic principle that, to have, like the question you would ask, would you be happy to have an oil, a 20-centimetre oil pipeline, say, just outside your front door? I believe Fingleton himself, I presume there's a Mr. Fingleton, he wouldn't be able to answer that question in the affirmative, and therefore I don't think he should oppose it on my constituents. That's basically what I feel.
Yeah, well, you mentioned there the port tunnel with access to the airport for fuel and everything else that comes. So why, I can't understand why this pipeline has been.
Well, obviously somebody thinks it would be a way of, I presume Fingal and White are into fabricating metal, and they think it would be a good project for them to be able to be involved in, maybe some people in the Dublin Airport Authority feel that it's something that would be an asset to them, etc. But I mean, it's the impact on our homes that is the key point here, I think, and it's not acceptable.
Okay.
And they should, as I said, they should withdraw it and forget about it, and not to bring it through residential areas, because the international experience, I think, is bad. And even gas pipelines, as we know, we've had histories of explosions and of buildings being damaged and even people being killed in gas explosions, and that's something you have to keep an eye on as well. But obviously we use gas extensively in home heating and so on, but this is for a totally different situation. I don't think kerosene, for example, is taxed by the state. It's part of the whole economics of air travel, which people don't really think about, but it's a significant point. So I kind of feel that they haven't gotten the permission for to go a shorter route, but I can see why people would have been opposed to that. I don't see why they went ahead with this one.
Yeah, okay, well you've mentioned that at the start of the interview that residents, Northwood residents, have until next Tuesday, which is May the 12th, to make submissions or observations, but not objections. I mean, do submissions
have the opportunity when I say submission, it's my own submission is a very strong objection, and I signal that all the way through. I think it's been reported by your colleagues in Northside People, for example, and by the Journal and other newspapers, not obviously by most of the national papers, because they don't tend to report things that affect people very profoundly until the very last minute. They spend a lot of time reporting stuff that's of no interest, but the really important stuff always seems to come, you know, just very late in the day. But I mean, the local paper, Northside People, and I know the Journal did a few pieces on it when I did it in the Dáil last autumn. I was the only representative, I think, to raise it at that stage, and I'm continuing to raise it. I notice other representatives now are signalling opposition as well, but that's basically how I feel about it.
Okay, well, the spokesperson for Dublin City Council said a decision is due on June the 2nd, and then presumably if there's no huge objections from the people who live along the route, the work will commence sometime after that, and then, well, what happens?
No, there'll be a board, because this crowd, Fingleton White, they tried to bypass in 2009-10, and it just shows you that how undemocratic these people are. They tried to bypass Dublin City Council and Fingal Council. They put in this plan at the moment, Pat, into Dublin City and into Fingal, because it runs through both administrative areas.
Yeah.
So there's two separate operations there. For example, Fingal could turn it down, or Dublin City could turn it down. But if either of them approves it, I can't see how, if one turns it down, it's turned down, because it can't happen. But if both approved it, then obviously the next step would be on Bord Pinála. But in 2009-10, this company, Fingleton White, is, I think, Midlands company, they tried to bypass our councils by going directly to Bord Pinála, that was not permitted. And that's the reason why it's going to City Council and to Fingal Council. So they have their fundamental instinct was not to in any way consult the people of North Dublin about this proposal.
They seem pretty determined, Tommy, don't they?
There's obviously money in it for them.
Yeah.
But it's the disamenity. I mean, if you did a cost-benefit analysis of it, the cost-benefit to the district, I think, of Dublin Bay North, as it is now, the new constituency, of Fairview, Merino, Dunycarney, Clontarf, Artane, Coolock, Darndale, Priorswood, Airfield, Clare Hall, Burnell, all the areas that join Clonshock, that join this area. I mean, the disamenity for us, I believe, if you costed it, and in terms of cost benefit, would be a hugely negative number, and that's why it's not in our interest that this would go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, Tommy, do you want to add anything to that? You'll be campaigning along the way to try and ensure this thing doesn't happen.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, I said if somebody wants to make proposals, bring it away from populated areas across the country. That's a separate matter, and again, you'd have to look at whatever impacts it could have on the most, you know, if there were houses within, you know, maybe half a mile or whatever, but or a few kilometres, but bringing this through densely populated districts is, I think, it's unconscionable, and it should be withdrawn.
And people will be probably concerned if it goes ahead that their property will be devalued, as the same way that they did when the Port Tunnel was proposed.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're selling a home along the route and you have to move or something, the question people may well remember, but in addition to the normal infrastructure, there's an oil pipeline just there, just a couple of metres there outside your front door. Obviously that would be a huge factor, I think, for many people. Many people wouldn't consider it because you know, obviously if there were any kind of breakages, leakages into the water system or at a more extensive nature, causing explosions, it just wouldn't be acceptable.
Yeah, and as well as a new pipeline, there are probably leaky water pipes outside your property as well, which don't help matters, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're aware of the fact that, I think water... Well, liquids are hard to deliver. That's one very fundamental point that the debate, which obviously people are imposing water taxes on us, they deliberately ignore the fact. I mean, I used to be chairman of the General Purposes Committee of Dublin City Council for about 8 years, and water is really difficult. I mean, to deliver water, 80% of, say, a quantum of water is a great achievement. So you're always going to have maybe 20% leakage plus in the best systems. Now, we did have up to 40% and getting it down from that, but Dublin City was working on that without any Irish water, etc. So delivering liquids is a difficult process. And I would imagine a similar situation exists in regard to kerosene.
Okay.
And that the problems, you know, they're as I said again, unconscionable. They're unbearable to think about.
Okay, Tommy, we're going to have to leave it there because we're running up against the clock. But thanks very much for taking the call, coming back to me like that. Thanks a million. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, no problem, Pat.
Thank
you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Tommy Brown, TD, there talking to me about the proposed observations on an aviation fuel pipeline that will link Dublin Port to the airport. You're listening to Northside Today with me, Pat Meehan. We're going to take a break. We will be back shortly.